hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce Valerie Riley, serial entrepreneur in the service industry and loving dog and cat mom. Valerie, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Oh gosh, there's so many defining moments in my life. I think probably the first one that stands out is when I decided to move from California to Dallas. I was early 20s and I had a pretty tumultuous childhood, and so really decided it was time to kind of go out on my own and find a new space for myself. And when I got to Dallas, I couldn't find work doing what I had originally done in California, and so took a job as an assistant. And then that has unfolded a story that I could never have anticipated into the service industry. I own Life Squire, and that's 100% assistant service. So I think that's a big defining moment. And then probably another one is when my nephew was born. He's 14 and his mom is not in his life anymore. And they were living in California. I started flying out there to help my brother and dad take care of my nephew and convince them to move out this way. So another long story, very short. We all live in Oklahoma now, and he's 14 and the love of my life.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. So tell us maybe a little bit more about, were you born in Oklahoma or born in California?
I was born in California.
Okay. So then you headed to Dallas after that. How'd you end up in OKC?
Gosh, that's a really long story. And I'll just be transparent, I guess, because why not? This is about capable women. So I was living in Dallas and had lived there for a while and met a guy. And this is like the story of so many beginnings and endings for people. But I met a guy and his family lived in Edmond. And I never really loved Dallas. I come from the Bay Area in California, so it's pretty low key in terms of like people and attitudes, and Dallas is very high maintenance and everybody kind of is dressed up all the time, and it was just kind of sensory overload for me. Mm-hmm. So we would come up to Oklahoma on the weekends to visit his family like once a month. And really, I loved it. I was like, this is such an interesting place. And you could kind of see, this was in like 2008. And I could kind of see the growth coming for the city. And at that same time was launching into owning my own business. And so we kind of made the joint decision, let's move to Oklahoma. I'll officially start my business here. So we moved here in 2009. And then we divorced maybe a year or two later. So, but when we divorced, I remember thinking, oh gosh, should I go back to California? But it was like right at that tipping point of the business where I could see things were starting to turn. Mm-hmm. And so I just made the decision to stay. And that, I mean, I'm so glad I did. I love, love, love living here.
That's amazing. I actually lived in Dallas too and had the exact same experience. Like, I felt like, you know, what you just said was like taking words out of my mouth. I've said that so many times. I had the same impression. It was just a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah, just sort of on all the time. And Oklahoma is like way more relaxed than that.
Way chill. Like, yes. I love any city that you can show up to a nice restaurant in jeans in. Like, that same. Is my jam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were just up in Denver, and it was kind of the same.
or even more so maybe there, like there's no such thing as too casual.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, tell us, you know, with all your businesses, like where did the inspiration for your businesses come from?
So the first business I started was LifeSquire, and that was started, like I said, in 2009. And it came because I was working as an assistant prior and was in that role for several, like 8 years, and really fell in love with the idea of being a caretaker and seeing other people's success and have their success unfold as a result of my work, but still being able to be in the background. I don't like a lot of attention, and so that was a really good fit for my personality. And when my boss retired, I kind of made this decision, like, well, I guess this was another defining moment. I thought, do I go and work for somebody else or do I start my own business? And I kind of jumped off the cliff and started my own business. And so I have a heart for assistance. I think it's why LifeSquire has grown to where it's grown. Mm-hmm. We are the largest in the country doing what we do. And I think it's because I started the business on the side of, let's see if we can create a really great dynamic for the assistants and then get the clients. And a lot of people start businesses like this on the opposite side. Like they are a busy person. They want to start an assistant business because they need the help. And that wasn't how I started it. So, and then from that business, two others have spawned. One is a handyman service that I own with another female entrepreneur that has a construction company. And that was because she reached out to me and said, and this is probably 3 or 4 years ago now, she said, hey, you guys do such a good job at LifeSquire building a great service-based model. You should get into the handyman business. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I know nothing about handyman businesses. You should do it with me. And so we launched, it's called Level Handyman, together. And then in 2014, I was developing technology for LifeSquire. We felt like in order to stay innovative and ahead of the curve in any industry, but specifically our space, we needed to create some kind of technology. And so we developed our own app. But when we developed it on a white label platform and under a separate LLC, because I could see that at some point this would be its own business. I just didn't know what that looked like. And so fast forward until about a year ago, we launched what's called Folks, which is our technology company, and it's elder care. It's helping home care agencies and families communicate better with caregivers. So we're in their friends and family fundraising round right now.
Wow. And yeah, so they do really have that overlap of caring for someone and sort of, caretaking, yes, like you said. That's really interesting.
And it's a space I understand inherently well because I've been a caretaker since I was like 3 years old. So it comes very natural to me.
I love that. And the handyman kind of fits in so seamlessly with what you guys were doing at LifeSquire. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, basically what we did is we took all of the operations that we created for LifeSquire, because years ago I franchised LifeSquire. I don't have that business model anymore. It was not a fit for me at all. But because we had created a franchise system, we kind of have a business in a box. And so when we started Level, outside of like the branding and the naming of it, everything was done. All we had to do was kind of find and replace LifeSquire with Level, and all of our employee manuals, our operations, all of our systems and procedures it was already done for us. So it cut out a lot of the headache of starting a business.
Wow, that is so smart. I love that. And I can already think of like 10 things in my house I need you guys to come in and help me with, because I don't know very many handymen other than my husband, and he's limited, you know. But tell us, you know, with managing three different businesses, where do you go to get fresh inspiration and to kind of refill your cup when you're burned out?
So I, years ago, started taking Fridays away from the office, and I use Fridays as my day. Sometimes I go and get a manicure. Some days I read. Some days I walk my dog. Some days I do nothing. And just having a white space in my calendar that I know is coming every Friday is incredibly helpful for my creative process. Sometimes I don't come up with any new thoughts or ideas, but just giving myself the room to have no thoughts, honestly, spur more thoughts than it does if I was like, I'm not like somebody who's like, okay, I'm going to have 2 hours of creative thinking time. My brain is just always going and the ideas are like a mile a minute. And so I need to almost create the opposite. I need to create time where I don't have those thoughts. So I do that. And then another place I find a ton of inspiration is really on, I love to travel. And so on a plane, not so much my destination, but definitely on my flights, because it's like the only time for me, I feel I can be disconnected truly if I want to be, and there's no expectation otherwise. So even on my Fridays that I'm out of the office, there's still a mild expectation that if there's something that goes down and it's big and bad, you can get a hold of me. Whereas on that plane, it's like I can be in airplane mode and, oh, the Wi-Fi wasn't working. And it's, again, that just white space that allows my brain to either have a break or free associate, which is also really helpful.
So helpful. I remember my husband and I went to Thailand for our honeymoon, and getting on that plane, we were like, no one can talk to us for 12 hours.
It's like amazing. The best thing.
You know, yeah, so many people like dread long flights. We were like hyped up for that flight.
Oh, I love a long flight because of that exact reason. It's like, oh my gosh, interrupted like reading time if I want it, or
yeah,
I can listen to a podcast, I can sleep, like there's all kinds of things.
Yeah, or like if you have TVs, you can literally just watch movies and like no yes. one's gonna judge
you. And actually watch the movie.
Yes, exactly. Uninterrupted. Yeah, we had gotten this huge thing of gummy bears, and so we just like we're like little kids in a candy store. We were just like
awesome.
So happy. No, I can totally relate to that too. It's some free thinking space for sure.
Yeah, I would say really quick, like I think, and maybe other entrepreneurs already feel this way, but I really struggled for a long time feeling like I wasn't a creative. And then one day I was like, oh my gosh, this being a creative and being kind of in that category answered so many questions for me that I had about myself. Like, why do I have 5,000 ideas and I can only act on a few of them? Or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was almost like putting a label on myself helped me feel less pressure to be what I thought an entrepreneur was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I definitely feel like being a creative comes with completely different expectations than the label entrepreneur. So that makes a yes. lot of sense. Tell us about your future. When you look at your future, you know, what do you see?
Oh, gosh. So a few things that are on kind of the list that I look at every day are, I would like folks, our tech company, to be built and then acquired. So our path to acquisition, I have a co-founder, also a female entrepreneur. We would like to be up and out in 3 years. So there'll be a lot of work to be done in the next few years, but that's in 3 years what I'd like to see happen. And then with LifeSquire, I am removing myself more and more from the day-to-day operations. I'm already pretty well seated in what we call the visionary role. We run our business on something called EOS, which is Entrepreneurs Operating System. You can either self-implement or have an implementer. We had an implementer because I've got ADD. So I need somebody to keep me on track. But through that process, what it really allows you to do is step out of the weeds, focus on the vision. And so for me, our 10-year, well, actually it'll be 9-year plan now for LifeSquire is to be at 10 million in revenue, having helped 10,000 people, both on the assistant side and the client side, and to be the largest assistant resource in our region. So we've got some big goals. Level, I don't really think about the future very much. I think it's so removed from like handymen, or I don't understand that as much as I do the other. So as long as it's being profitable, which it is now, I'll be happy.
Very cool. And tell us, what has been your proudest moment so far?
I think my proudest moment, this is kind of, might be too much information, but I'm going to share it anyway. I think my proudest moment is, and this is not an actual moment, but more of like a life event, I guess. I had, like I mentioned, a really tumultuous childhood. And by the looks on paper of everything that I went through, I should be, you know, I don't know, either like destitute or resentful or lots of negative things. And while I have struggled with some of the things that I have had to process, I think overall my outlook on life is my proudest moment, because I honestly can see the good in, I would say, 99% of the people I meet. I have a pretty forgiving heart. I lead with grace in our business for sure. And I just believe that people are hurting. And if I could offer grace to them and show them kindness, then maybe it changes the world a little bit at a time. And so while that's not a moment, I feel like it's definitely a life philosophy that shows up in moments every day.
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if it meant something to you to help us reach other wildly capable women.